This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. On Investing Pro, we'll be here to give you some advice for your portfolio. Right now, the week ahead includes a two-day meeting of the Fed, plus the latest report on retail sales. We're joined by Paul Christopher, head of Global Market Strategy, Wells Fargo Investment Institute, based in St. Louis. Paul, good to have you back on the show. Let's begin with the meeting of the Fed. What can we expect here in what will be the last meeting of the year?
Yeah, the Fed will reiterate its stance, promising near zero interest rates for the future, at least through 2021, probably through 2023.
And I mean, is that about it? I mean, is there any sort of projections you think other than that?
The Fed will probably also reiterate its commitment to provide whatever liquidity the markets may need. It doesn't want to get into a situation where suddenly a market finds itself without enough cash and rates or prices start to rise dramatically. That would be disruptive, especially right now as we're looking forward to the vaccine starting. So expect the Fed to just be reassuring and no real changes.
Is the Fed concerned at all? I mean, let's talk about the stimulus bill here. I mean, I can't even say the stimulus bill because we don't even know if we're going to get one here. Is that the sort of thing that the Fed is looking at to see how the federal government is trying to support us during this time?
Very much. The Fed has said repeatedly that it needs and wants the federal government, Congress, to come through with additional spending to help balance out what the Fed's trying to do on the monetary side. It can't do everything the Fed can't by itself. So, yes, Fed and everyone else watching to see what comes out of Congress today.
So what would, as someone who watches our economy pretty closely, what would be good in a stimulus bill? What would actually help to support the economy during this time?
Well, the bare minimum would be a small package that provides additional support for small businesses as we get more COVID infections and more restrictions. You'd have to and want to extend unemployment benefits beyond the end of the year and a moratorium on evictions. Continue those as a bare minimum. And then beyond that, let's say a mid-sized package, maybe $750 billion, would add to those three funding for schools, funding for vaccinations, and maybe some additional smaller payments to individuals, smaller than what we got in the spring and summer of this year. And then the bigger package would take all of those items that I just mentioned in the small and the mid-sized package and probably look to add state and local government financial aid, as well as some liability protection against the claims that a particular company, maybe your business, allowed COVID to spread among customers and workers. And so those would be the main things.
Yeah, and that one seems to be the one, as you're saying, that is very needed, that support of state and local governments, very needed. And yet you have this political battle over, some states, some local governments weren't exactly balancing their budget before COVID. And so the federal government doesn't want to prop them up. And yet there's a genuine loss of tax revenue.
Of course. And that's why the state and local aid and the COVID liability protection have been so contentious. Republicans maybe are a little skeptical of some of the claims of state and local governments who really aren't so bad off and who were already in deficits beforehand. And Democrats, for their part, are skeptical about claims of the Republicans that really businesses need COVID liability protection. So what they may do is separate those two out into a separate bill. And then go with the other items, the more consensus items, funding for schools, vaccinations, payments to individuals, and so forth, and try to do it that way, squeeze through both bills, and at least get the minimum of what people seem to agree on, where there's consensus in Congress.
Thanks so much, Paul Christopher. He is head of global market strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Coming up, the massive coronavirus immunization project is underway here in the U.S. It's a huge day in the fight against COVID-19 as a vaccine's being made available in Chicago and across the country. Dr. Chris Colbert is joining us, an ER doctor, assistant program director of the Emergency Medicine Residency Program at UIC here in Chicago. Dr. Colbert, so this is being rolled out nationwide, but most people should understand it will still be months before they're able to get one of these.
Now, opening up to the general public will definitely take some time and collection of additional data before we open up to the general public. It is true. However, this is a really good day. We're moving in a positive direction in combating COVID-19.
This seems, I don't want to say, maybe I should say historic. I mean, to get a vaccine on a virus this quickly, I mean, is this fairly unprecedented?
You know, I have significant cautious optimism with where we're going, what this vaccine offers, and the conversation now that we can honestly have with the patients that walk in and out of this ER. We are at a place where we can have honest conversation, positive conversation, and significantly decrease some of the effects as well as the negative outcome from COVID-19.
And there are lessons learned, right? Just in vaccine production and in formulating everything so that, I mean, I'm already thinking down the road to the next time there's some kind of a virus, we might have hope that we could get a vaccine this quickly again.
You know, and that speaks to that as well. The advantages and the use and the continued understanding and knowledge of mRNA is a huge, huge step in the right direction just for medicine in general. This is a great day.
Healthcare workers being given the priority, is it especially the ones who are dealing with COVID patients?
Ideally, yes. Ideally, what we're looking for, and specifically looking for those populations of physicians that are coming into contact most commonly with this with the virus. However, there is a broad stroke in healthcare providers, and there's a limited resource right now. So it's the distribution, the administration of this vaccine that, again, is still in process and in a good position as well.
Yeah, and that's especially with the Pfizer vaccine, that transportation, storing, this isn't the sort of thing that can just come in any ordinary box. It needs to be kept very, very cold.
Extremely cold, both in transportation and in storage in the hospital. And all of these accommodations have been made for and accounted for. And again, this is just moving into a really great position for combating COVID-19.
When they get to the point that the general public is getting this, what do they need to know? I mean, it's not just, I think all the vaccines, it's not just one shot, right? They're going to need two rounds.
That's exactly. Both the Pfizer and the Moderna, there are both a two-dose vaccine, and the time between each vaccine is relative. It's a little bit shorter for Pfizer. It's between 2 and 3 weeks, and with the Moderna, it's a little bit longer than that as well. And the efficacy is, of course, enhanced by the second dose. And it's important, number one, to promote confidence, as well as enhance the public trust by observing the physicians and those first-line individuals that are going to take the vaccine and the outcome of the vaccine in of itself.
Thanks so much, Dr. Chris Colbert. He's an ER doctor and assistant program director of the Emergency Medicine Residency Program at UIC. Good to have you with us again. Up next, McDonald's is looking to push use of its app while Popeyes is expanding its selection of sweets. And Stock Picker Monday coming up at 12:49.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
McDonald's and Popeyes are trying different strategies to drive business. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil, let's begin with Popeyes here. They're launching beignets. Tell us about this.
Well, it's so interesting for me, Cisco, because of any retailer that was going to get into the beignet business, I wouldn't have imagined that it's Popeye. And again, you know, if you haven't been to New Orleans, if you don't know what a beignet is, think of it as a donut without a hole, if you would. And what they're doing is they have this donut that they're stuffing with Hershey's chocolate. It's only going to be available for a limited time in 3, 6, and 12 packs. And it's just a real interesting way that all these restaurants are trying to drive business. We've seen, you know, restaurants across the country during the pandemic really lose a lot of business, a lot of customers. People are not going to restaurants unless it's a drive-through, for example. So Popeyes is really putting themselves out there and doing something different and trying to, frankly, get a new customer base.
And it seems like, as always, they say it's limited time, but if it takes off, why not just stick it on the menu?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. That's what we've seen with their chicken sandwich that they introduced about a year ago. They had said that that would be a limited time, but it did so well, it's now part of the permanent menu.
And McDonald's just giving away free food. I guess that's one way to grow a customer base.
Well, yeah, there is a little hook to it. So you've got to go through their app. You've got to spend at least a dollar. And then from December 14th through December 24th, they're going to be giving away free food. And they're tied in with characters. For example, on December 14th, it's the Griswolds. You can get a free double cheeseburger. On the 17th, it's John McClane, a free McDouble. December 18th, it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And you can get a free medium fry. What I think McDonald's is trying to do here, which is very smart, is drive people to their app. That's the only way that you can get this free food. And once you use the app, and if you use it every day, you know, for 10 days to get free food, it's going to become part of your regular regimen in how to order food.
And that's where the loyalty really comes into play, right? That's what all the restaurants want with their app?
Absolutely. It's not only loyalty, but also being able to get consumer data. You know, so it's more of a marketing play than it is to attract people to come to the restaurants. But it's very, very smart. And frankly, I've already talked to a bunch of people who are not McDonald's users, but who are going to become McDonald's users to get some free food.
Yeah, really interesting. Good strategy. Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com. Still ahead, cyber crooks set their sights on several U.S. government agencies.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The first non-trial doses of COVID vaccine are being given out in the U.S. today. President Trump changes his mind about vaccines among his top staff. The White House says a group backed by a foreign government has carried out a cyber attack on the U.S., also, the Commerce and Treasury departments. It is Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of ideas from an investing pro coming up at 12:49. On the markets, the Dow is up 6, NASDAQ is up 96, and the S&P is up 3 points. Oil is up 0.25%. Sunshine and blue skies. Right now, 31 degrees. The wind chill makes it feel like 22. A critical care nurse who has treated COVID patients in New York City has become the first in the state and one of the first in the country to receive the vaccine for the virus. Correspondent Julie Walker.
Onlookers applauded after Sandra Lindsay got the coronavirus vaccination at Long Island Jewish Medical Center in Queens.
I feel hopeful today. I'm relieved. I feel like healing is coming.
The first of about 3 million doses of Pfizer's vaccine are arriving around the country today. Healthcare workers and nursing home residents are given priority, but supplies won't be available to the general public until the spring as more drug makers await FDA approval and supplies ramp up. Julie Walker, New York.
President Trump says he is changing a plan to have senior U.S. officials get early vaccine shots while the public distribution is limited.
The Trump administration said yesterday top officials would be offered the vaccine as soon as this week under federal continuity of government plans, including some White House aides working in close proximity to the president. The news was criticized on social media. And hours later, the president said he's reversing the directive, tweeting people in the White House should get the vaccine later unless specifically necessary. It's unclear just what effect his statement will have on efforts to protect the government's top leadership. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Remember, you can listen to us anytime on the radio.com app, where you'll also find more than 20 free channels playing Christmas music, including Christmas classics for traditional favorites that stand the test of time. It's 12:32.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's see what's moving Wall Street here. It's not really moving. We got the Dow and the S&P both flat. The NASDAQ up 101 points. That's almost 1%. Michael Palumbo is here, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk. Mike, it's always great to have you on the show. We got the markets bouncing around a little bit today, but no significant movement. What do you see?
Well, good afternoon, Cisco, and thanks again for having me on. You know, we had a good, strong open in the markets, and then it slowly sold off throughout the morning. You know, news obviously on the vaccine coming out, so a lot of positive stuff coming out in the news. But I think this is all priced in, so that's why we're kind of seeing the sell-off go back to pretty much unchanged on the day. The catalyst for a move higher, in my mind, is going to be earnings, and that doesn't come until next month, at least the start of it. So right now, I think we're in a trading range, and you know, people are expecting a Christmas rally. If you get enough people expecting a Christmas rally, it doesn't happen. So we'll see whether it does this year or not. But I think today we're just going to tread water, and the rest of the week will be similar, and really we need a catalyst beyond what's already happening, because things like the vaccine, we already knew it was coming, and now we have an idea that really the general public won't see it until April or May, so that's not going to move the markets higher.
So at this point, the vaccine, I mean, it could only be a negative catalyst, if you will, if something goes wrong, if the supply is shorter than expected or something like that.
Well, here's the way I look at it, and this is why I'm advocating a little bit more cash than normal, and that we're maybe a little bit too high right now in the S&P. And that is that when you're seeing all of the worries from the last 6 months start to get answered, all the questions are resolved in a positive way, the election is over, the vaccine is coming out, the worst time of COVID appears to be either now or very soon in January, and you can kind of see an end of COVID, it's actually time to start worrying again, to be honest with you. And that is because you start to worry about the things we don't know that are coming up. So we've got all these answers, and the answers have all been luckily, and that may be all luckily, but they've all been fairly positive. But we know those now. So this is actually a time to be more worried, because all the other things have been answered. So what don't we know that's coming down the pipeline in January, February, March? Because if you remember, if you bring yourself to this time last year, everything looked really rosy, didn't it? And then all of a sudden, this thing called COVID happened, and the market dropped 25-30%. So I'm just cautioning people right now that because all this good news is coming out, it actually is a time to start worrying about what is next.
And how do you invest in that regard? Because, I mean, there could always be something around the corner, right? And it's completely unknown.
Certainly, and that's why the stock market is always a risk, and that in the long run, the market's been great, because you've had to be willing to bet on America, bet on the world, but especially America, in order to make money. And it's always worked. Well, you know what? It probably still will, right? America is an amazing, amazing country. And so a long-term bet in the stock market right now is still probably going to be fine. But for right now, I just think we've come a long way. And at 35.25, I advocated to get a little bit of money out of the stock market and go to some cash. I'm still long. I still believe in America. But I think we've gone so far now that it wouldn't be bad to have a little extra cash right now. I do like Coke. I do like MSGS, some of the names I've given you guys before. Ulta I like, Amazon. I even like the biotechs, even though they're risky as heck. But the biotechs, I think, are going to lead rallies. And the IBB is the ETF for biotechs, in case you don't want to pick one stock, because those things are really very, very volatile. It's easy to get one wrong. But so there are stocks, individual stocks out there, but I would just caution that we may be getting a little bit of irrational exuberance here as we end the year, and a lot of our questions are being answered positively. There's just things to worry about in the future that we don't even, they're called the unknown unknowns, and that's things that we can't predict, but they always happen, and we don't know when they're going to happen. So I would just be cautious here.
Thanks so much. That is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital. Up next, the federal government dealing with an attack by foreign hackers.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
U.S. government agencies have been ordered to scour their computer networks because of an espionage campaign from overseas. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, here's Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout, author of the book Swiped. Adam, give us kind of the details that we have here. Obviously, the government's not going to want to let us too much have too much information about what went on here.
No, and thanks for inviting me, Cisco. What happened is SolarWinds is a contractor that works with 300,000 organizations, all branches of the U.S. military, a lot of federal government agencies, state government agencies, private businesses. I believe they also work with the British Parliament. And what happened is that their Orion IT monitoring platform got compromised. And some people think that it was used as a jumping off point to infiltrate government organizations by this Russian hacking group called Cozy Bear, or APT-29. And the concern is that they got into and looked around email systems, for instance, at the Department of the Treasury, also at an agency within the Commerce Department that is involved with decisions about technology policy, technology export, things like that. This highly sophisticated, targeted, it's considered a manual supply chain attack. And, you know, this is something that many of us have warned about, is it's not necessarily you as an organization that have a problem, but if a vendor who supplies products, services, monitoring products, software, whatever, if they become compromised, that could be the conduit for folks to get into your systems. And that appears to what's happened here.
Well, now, does it make sense? I mean, maybe this doesn't even work. So that's why I'm asking you. It seems like whether you're a big corporation or, yes, even the government, it seems like there are sensitive things that should just be completely kept offline. Is that unrealistic in these days?
There are people who try to do it, and there are certain things that are kept offline. But the reality is here, what you're dealing with is a product that was designed to make sure that your systems were working well. It was an IT monitoring platform. So as a result of that, it's just sometimes you can't stop it, especially when something hooks on and rides in one of the things. And especially, here's the interesting thing, it rode in as part of an update. And usually updates are issued because a vulnerability was discovered somewhere, and the update is designed to help patch the problem. But would it be great if you could keep everything offline? Yeah, sure. But can you? Not in the world we live in. There's just way too much data at this point.
And I think you're right. There's just no way that you can keep all these important things offline. But the fact that it can even come in this way through something very legitimate, a software update, I just don't understand how people just at some point don't throw up their hands. That if a government wants to get in, it seems like they're going to find a way.
Well, no, I think you have to assume the fact that despite our best efforts as a nation, and despite the best efforts of extremely sophisticated IT departments at some of the biggest and most important companies in the world, that if someone wants to get in, they will find a way to get in. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't discover them as quickly as possible when they get in, do something about it. But there is a certain inevitability to this, and that's why it's so important to really keep our game up and understand the fact that cybersecurity is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You can be cybersecure at 9:01 a.m. and somebody clicks on the wrong link, or in this case, an update comes in through a highly respected contractor, and all of a sudden you have someone in your system that you don't want in your system.
Yeah, really good insight. Thanks. Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout, author of the book Swiped. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Wealth Management Group. joining us this afternoon, David Brady, President Brady Investment Counsel in Bloomington. David, good to have you back on the show. What's your first pick today?
How about Tapestry? We like growing global brands, and certainly Tapestry slots right into that one. They house Coach and Kate Spade and Stuart Weitzman. You know, clearly the 2020 was a rough year for consumer product-like companies. But we expect a nice rebound in 2021 and beyond. And at 11 times earnings, we think the shares are underappreciated by Wall Street right now.
Yeah, and that it seems like a company like Tapestry, there could be the rebound in people who maybe have kept their jobs, have had money, but just haven't really had the opportunity to spend it. Or maybe they're waiting to feel a little bit better, to have a little more confidence. And that it seems like that could surge then in 2021.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a discretionary purchase, no doubt. But then, you know, if you look at some of the other luxury brand companies and the multiples, the PE multiples like a Hermes or a LVMH, they're in the stratosphere compared to where Tapestry is. So, again, we think as tech companies are going to have a tough time reporting big sales and earnings gains like they did in 2020. So we think the market will rotate towards the companies, and not necessarily value companies, but just any company that is going to show sales earnings, impressive sales earnings gains in 2021. So that's a big reason. It's a high-quality company, well-financed, new management. So we're excited about this one.
All right, that's Tapestry, ticker symbol TPR. What's your second pick?
Yeah, it's Accelerate Diagnostics. This is a diagnostic equipment company. They sell their products in the hospitals, and again, with COVID, and the way hospital priorities changed in 2020, expectations were high going into the year, but it changed quickly. So with Accelerate, we look at a company. We have a company that we think can double their sales in 2021 and then double them again in 2022. And there just aren't a lot of companies out there that are like that. Again, you know, it's a company that kind of disappointed on the operational side in 2020. The stock has really been killed this year. So we think it's also a candidate for tax loss trading or window dressing, which might be going on towards the end of the year. So the shares might be under some undue pressure. And again, we think we've got an underappreciated situation, especially for the quality of the company, the quality of the products, and the growth potential.
So that's about $7.37 a share. Where do you see it going over the next year or so?
If the sales comes in the way we expect, a double certainly is in the cards.
All right. The two picks today, Tapestry, ticker symbol TPR, and Accelerate Diagnostics. That ticker symbol is AXDX. Thanks so much, David Brady, this Monday's stock picker, president of Brady Investment Counsel in Bloomington. Past programs and later today, a podcast of this hour on our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.